And welcome to the Rick House. Folks, my name is Cyrus Farmer, and you are watching and listening to the Stomp the Tea podcast. We have a lot to get into tonight, and let me give you a rundown of what you can expect to hear discussed. We will be talking about the debacle that was the 2025 Ryder Cup. Lots of thoughts, lots of issues. I will lay them all out for you. We will also be talking about my Philadelphia Eagles and the A.J. Brown problem that they have, which, in my opinion, is not entirely of A.J. Brown's making. And we'll also do a wrap-up of the NFL stories from week four in the NFL season. Folks, I got to tell you, this Ryder Cup, what a debacle. Oh my gosh, it was a problem. It was definitely a problem. And you know, one of the problems to me that was the most pronounced, especially after watching the Sunday singles matches, in my opinion, there has been too much focus on what happened Sunday instead of what happened on Friday and Saturday. Yes, the U.S. made an enormous charge. Yes, the U.S. team fought valiantly in singles. Yes, the European team only won one match, which is a record low for any Ryder Cup. And yet they retained and additionally won the 2025 Ryder Cup. All that is true. But the problem is, it should have never gotten to that. The U.S. team was a no-show on Friday and Saturday in the team competition. I told you, folks, the U.S., if they want to win the 2025 Ryder Cup, has to at least be tied 2-2 on the Friday morning session after alternate shot. What happened? U.S. is down 3-1. U.S. ends the day, I think, 5.5 to 2.5. Saturday, more of the same. U.S. loses, I think, down 3-1. And it was literally no-show central from the U.S. Ryder Cup team. I got to tell you, I mean, look, Keegan Bradley is phenomenal person, for what I understand. But let's be fair. I know there's a ton of work that goes into being the captain of the Ryder Cup team for either side. But Keegan Bradley, especially when you're playing and trying to navigate being the captain, and you're also playing golf as a PGA Tour member, he did a horrible job. And you know, I personally like Keegan Bradley, but he did a horrible, horrible job. Some people were talking about, let's give Keegan another chance in Ireland. You're crazy. What? Keegan did nothing to deserve another chance as captain of the Ryder Cup team in 2027. Look, let's be fair. Luke Donald, if you look at what he did, and Keegan, to his credit, gave Luke a ton of credit. He called Luke Donald the greatest Ryder Cup captain ever on numerous occasions, which, great sportsmanship by Keegan Bradley. But if you look at what Luke Donald did for his European team, now Luke was not playing on the PGA Tour or the European Tour or the Senior Tour, as far as I know. Full-time, which Keegan was. Luke had such an attention to detail. It was really, really, really incredible. From blocking the light in the rooms of his hotel rooms of his Ryder Cup players so that they get better rest, to changing the sheets, changing the shampoo. No detail was too small for Luke Donald to address. His players believed in him. His players trusted him. Luke Donald set his players up in a position of camaraderie, and he set his players up in a position to win the 2025 Ryder Cup, which is exactly what they did. What did Keegan Bradley do? Well, Keegan Bradley, his biggest contribution to the 2025 Ryder Cup was turning Bethpage Black into a Muni. I mean, you're going to cut all the rough down at Bethpage Black? Forget the weather. Forget the rain that came in Thursday, right? Why on earth would you make Bethpage Black, a famed course, easier to play than harder to play? Folks, I got to tell you, one of the reasons that I love the U.S. Open in golf so much is because it is considered golf's toughest test. The rough is high. The greens are fast. Sometimes, which, you know, would bother me as a player, the fairways are narrow. But it's a tough test. It's a tough examination. And it should be a tough test. You're actually having the best players in the world come to your tournament, the U.S. Open, and they are going to be examined under stress. Why wouldn't the Ryder Cup be the same way when you have a chance to set it up the way you want to set it up? Bethpage Black is a famously difficult course. If you cut the rough down, you basically give away the advantage of the course. If you cut the rough down, why hold the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black? And that's what I don't think Keegan Bradley or anyone on his team really took into consideration. Why hold the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black if you're going to cut the rough down? Does it make any sense? It really doesn't. Look, I'm telling you right now, Keegan Bradley said repeatedly, especially on Friday and again on Saturday, we have a plan. We are going to execute our plan. We're not going to panic, even though the U.S. was down after the morning session on Friday. The U.S. was down after the full day on Friday. The U.S. was down again after the morning session on Saturday. And the U.S. was down historically after the full day on Saturday. What does Keegan Bradley say? We are not going to panic. We are going to stick with our plan. Folks, let's be fair. Sticking with your plan after receiving evidence is like in football or basketball, making zero halftime adjustments. This is the why. This is the reason why Keegan Bradley should never be allowed anywhere near another Ryder Cup captaincy. Again, has nothing to do with him as a player. Has nothing to do with him as a person, but he did a horrible job as captain of the U.S. team in the 2025 Ryder Cup. And I will say this, that's after me giving him an enormous amount of credit for not picking himself as a player. He still did a horrible job. We can't run that back. We can't. Now, look, at the end of the day, Luke Donald and the European team, they were tremendous. This is a team that there will be books written about. Documentaries will be made about this team. This European team in 2025, if you want to go back, because it's probably fair, 2025 and 2023 in Rome. This European team is now legendary, as is their captain, Luke Donald, who has done so many things to put that team in historic position to be lauded for all times. Again, this team will be talked about for decades. So congratulations to the European Ryder Cup team, congratulations to Luke Donald, all of their players. They were clearly the better team, and they deserved to win back-to-back Ryder Cups. And let's be fair, Ireland is not going to be a walk in the park for the U.S. team at all. The U.S. team has yet to win a Ryder Cup, I believe, on foreign soil in about 20 years. So this is not an easy. Europe could win three in a row. That's what the U.S. team is facing, which leads me to this point. Folks, the conventional wisdom is that one Tiger Woods will captain the U.S. team into Ireland to help the U.S. team win the Ryder Cup back on foreign soil. Folks, I'm telling you right now, Tiger, if I'm Tiger Woods, I don't get within 1,000 miles of this U.S. Ryder Cup team. Why? Why do I say that? I'll tell you a couple of reasons. Number one, Tiger is still trying to actively play once he gets his health under his feet. And I think if anything over the last 4 to 6 years has been shown through the Ryder Cup competitions, you need a Ryder Cup captain who is not in the middle of a PGA career. And even if Tiger decides to play senior golf just so he can stay in shape for the majors, he's going to be distracted enough, just like Keegan Bradley was, to not give all his attention to the preparation that is going to be needed for the U.S. team to win in Ireland in 2027. That's the first reason. Second reason, look, let's be honest. If Tiger captained the U.S. Ryder Cup team in Ireland, there would be an enormous amount of pressure on the U.S. team. I'm telling you right now, there's going to be an enormous amount of pressure on the U.S. team regardless. But if Tiger's the captain, that U.S. team is going to be under a microscope. And Tiger Woods is going to be under a microscope. Is the team fulfilling Tiger's wishes? Is Tiger not leading the team well enough? Is Tiger's expectations for the team's performance unrealistic? Is the team failing to live up to Tiger's standards? It has disaster written all over it. So Tiger, if you're listening, don't touch the 2027 Ryder Cup captaincy. You've done too much for the game. You're too important for the game. The U.S. team is broken, and I understand you love a challenge. That's fine. But the U.S. team is broken right now. You, Tiger Woods, may not be the man who is able to fix that. So stay away. I think you will do more harm, not intentionally, but I think you will do more harm than good by accepting the captaincy of the 2027 Ryder Cup team. So there is that. Which brings me to the fan behavior at Bethpage Black. Folks, let's be honest. The entire episode was inexcusable. It was boorish behavior at the utmost. You can't, let me put it like this. And this is what the Ryder Cup has kind of turned into. I mean, you see examples of this in Europe as well. But the Ryder Cup, in my opinion, cannot be the 16th hole at the Phoenix Open Waste Management. It can't be. To me, that's not golf. I mean, there should be an element of decorum that occurs when you're watching a golf tournament. I mean, I wasn't there, but from what I understand, the behavior of the crowd was an absolute disgrace. And look, don't give me that it was a minority, a small minority of the crowd. I get it. Yes. Even if it was 1% of the crowd, right? There were 50,000 people out there, right? There's 500 people yelling obscenities, you know, getting on European players, rooting against the European team instead of for the American team. It's not golf to me. Golf prides itself as being the only sport that calls penalties on themselves, right? We are above golf being. We are above the pettiness of competition. We are gentlemen and gentlewomen, of course, with women's golf. We hold ourselves to a higher standard. And Rory was exactly right in his post Ryder Cup press conference with the team in that this should not be tolerated. Don't tell me decorum can't be enforced, because I've seen it personally enforced at the Masters and at the U.S. Open, and I've been to both events multiple times. You get people kicked out, you get people who are disorderly, removed from the course after paying $750 for a ticket, the other people who are thinking about chiming in will pipe down. Trust me, they will. I've seen it done. The behavior of some of the fans going after European family members. I mean, Rory McIlroy's wife talking about, you know, Shane Lowry and Bob McIntyre's weight. It's just, it's too much as far as I'm concerned. Now, to me, the real issue is that the U.S. team and the U.S. media, they all, as far as I'm concerned, kind of pumped up this idea of, well, once that crowd gets involved, Europe's going to have a hard time. Let's be fair. Do I believe the media highlighting the potential of the New York crowd being nasty caused the New York crowd to be nasty? Absolutely not. Do I believe that Bryson DeChambeau, Keegan Bradley, and others saying we need to get the crowd involved before, during, and after the Ryder Cup? Do I believe that caused the crowd at Bethpage Black to respond the way that they did? Absolutely not. But I will say this. What is an utter disgrace in my mind is that Captain Keegan Bradley and any U.S. player on the Ryder Cup team before, during, and after never called out the crowd for their behavior. Folks, these players were on the course competing as hard as they could against a European team that was more talented, more tested, a better team than the U.S. team. And yet not one single U.S. Ryder Cup member that I know of ever said, this crowd has to calm down. This Bethpage Black crowd needs to be more civil. This crowd needs to root for us instead of rooting against the European. That didn't happen one single time that I am aware of. And that, when you look in the mirror at the end of the day, tells you all you need to know about character. Inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. So, the media didn't cause it? No. The Ryder Cup captain didn't cause it? No. The U.S. players didn't cause it. No. But you have to be honest. Every single one of those players, especially the players who were playing against Rory McIlroy in team foursomes, four ball, or singles, heard some of the abuse that not only Rory McIlroy took, but other members of the European team. And not a single person on the U.S. team said, our crowd has to be better. And that is an absolute disgrace. Now, I've been hearing for years, since I was a little kid, from athletes, from coaches, from commentators, you know, you want to win the right way, right? Is that winning the right way? Is it? I don't think so. So, look, everybody and their mother has killed the Bethpage back Ryder Cup crowd, and for good reason. I'm killing them too. But I think that some of the responsibility for calling out the crowd was shirked by the golf media, by the Ryder Cup captain, and by the Ryder Cup players. So, there it is. I have to say, I have two final points on the Ryder Cup. And let's start with the American side. Scottie Scheffler, who was the number one player in the world, has to contribute more than 1 point in the singles. I love Scottie Scheffler. He is a great player. He's the best player in golf since Tiger. By a mile. No one's even close. But he has to do, like Tiger, when he was in his prime, he has to do more in the team competition section of the Ryder Cup. I think this is his second underperforming Ryder Cup in a row, because he was not great in Rome either. And I don't want to hear about how great the other players that Scotty was playing against, Justin Rose, you know, Tommy Fleetwood. I don't want to hear about how great they were against Scotty Scheffler. Well, they had 12 birdies in 16 holes. Scotty had 9 in 16 holes. What is he supposed to do? What Scotty Scheffler is supposed to do as the number one player in the world is do what he's done the last 2 years and blow people away. He's been blowing people away in these majors, in these golf tournaments, in these big events. He has to do more in the team events in the Ryder Cup. And we'll see if that happens in Ireland or not. The second point, this is on the European side. And I think most people can agree on this. John Rahm has to find his way back to the PGA Tour. What a talent. Oh my gosh. If you had John Rahm back on the PGA Tour, you have a chance to have some real rivalries. He was so good and so impressive during this Ryder Cup. I really, really, really want to see him back. Even more than Bryson DeChambeau, who I think Bryson played fine. I didn't think he played well. I don't think he played great. He salvaged a tie on Sunday in singles after being down by 5 at one point. But I would love to see John Rahm back on the PGA Tour just to see what happens with him moving forward with Scotty. You have a chance to create some real rivalries, which I think would benefit golf in a tremendous way. So I don't know what John's contract is with LIV. I don't know when it ends. I think it probably ends in like 2027 or something like that. But John Rahm, please come back to the PGA Tour. We need you. You need the PGA Tour. Anyway, moving forward, let me talk about my Philadelphia Eagles. Folks, I got to tell you, first and foremost, the win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week was a good win. a very good win. It was hot down there. The Eagles were playing against a team that has had our number for several seasons. And they did what they needed to do in order to win the game. And you take the win, you never throw it back. But I will say this. I have no idea what the Eagles are doing with one A.J. Brown. Folks, I understand that there are a lot of mouths to feed in this Eagles offense. You got Saquon Barkley. You got Devontae Smith. You got Dallas Goedert. I understand. But when you have A.J. Brown, you have to find a way to get him the ball. You just do. Because it feels as if the Eagles are trying to win games without A.J. Brown contributing just to prove a point. I have no idea what the point would be. I really don't. But it feels that way at this point. I mean, the man single-handedly, practically, brought the Eagles back from a definite loss against the Rams in the second half. AJ dominated the second half of that game. Why would you not go back to him and build off of that performance when you see what he can do for you? It's weird. I mean, AJ Brown is one of the great weapons in the NFL right now. And to try to win games without him, I understand. The Eagles are 4-0. I get it. Kudos. But they could actually be winning easier if you get A.J. Brown involved in the offense. Look, A.J. Brown, if you get him the ball, it's going to open up the running game for Saquon. It's going to give Devontae more one-on-one coverage throughout the game. It's going to open up holes in the middle for Dallas Goedert, who's had a very good season to this point already. Like, I don't know if A.J. Brown stepped on Kevin Petullo's toe. Kevin Petullo is the Eagles' new offensive coordinator. I don't know if he badmouthed Jalen Hurts' wife. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But it really seems to me to be apparent that the Eagles are not interested in getting A.J. Brown involved to this point of the season in the offense in an assertive way. They're not forcing the ball to A.J. They're not focusing on A.J. And again, if you get the ball to A.J., he's going to make everything else on the offense open up. It's like the Eagles have been playing with one hand tied behind their back offensively because of the lack of focus on getting A.J. involved early and often. I don't understand it. Now look, the problem is, if you're A.J. Brown, it's one thing to try and fail, right? Let's say they throw the ball deep to A.J. two or three times a day, and they're all broken up. A.J. drops 15 passes in a game, right? But that hasn't happened. They're not even giving A.J. a chance. A.J. Brown is one of the best contested catch receivers in the entire NFL. And what is he doing right now? He is making contested catches on two-yard slants. What? Does that make any sense to anyone? If you're going to make A.J. Brown literally fight for a 50-50 ball, can we do that 30 yards down the field, 20 yards down the field, 15 yards down the field? Why all these short targets to A.J. where he's covered like flypaper, but he can still make the catches? Get him involved. Give him a chance. I don't understand it. A.J. Brown is in the prime of his career right now. And I've mentioned this before, but AJ Brown, I don't know AJ Brown. I've never spoken to AJ Brown, but I know this for a fact. AJ Brown has goals for his career. He wants to leave the game as one of the all-time greats. He doesn't want to just be another player. AJ Brown has the talent and the ability to be one of the all-time greats if you give him a chance. Give him a chance. He can contribute directly to winning games. And yes, I know, I hear, I understand. The Eagles are already winning without using AJ Brown, but it is not sustainable. Folks, trust me, and I know you know this for a fact without hearing me. The Eagles offense to this point, the way they played the first four games of the season, and it's fine because they're still working things out, it is not sustainable to winning another championship. They have to get AJ Brown involved because he makes things so much easier for everyone else involved. Now, why am I talking about AJ Brown? For those of you who are unaware, AJ Brown sent out a tweet on an X after the Tampa Bay game, hard-fought game that the Eagles won on the road. Let me read you the tweet verbatim. If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders, and be on your way. Folks, let's be fair. That is not the kind of quote you want to hear from your best offensive player in the wide receiver core. True. I get that. But this tweet by AJ Brown was a cry for help. I'm telling you, folks, there's no way, and I have no proof of this, but there is no way AJ Brown would have sent that tweet out without at least some of it being true from his perspective. Folks, you got to get him the ball. You have to get him the ball. It's going to make things so much easier for the Eagles as a team, as a franchise, to win games, even though they're already winning games. Get AJ the ball. And I have to say this. It's not all Kevin Petullo, Jalen Hurts, whom I love. I'm just not sure he subscribes to the concept of quote-unquote feeding a player, right? I think Jalen is one of these guys who lives by the old axiom, if you work hard, the ball will find you, which may or may not be true, especially in this Eagles offense. I'm telling you right now, get AJ Brown involved. You want to do that. AJ obviously tried to clean up his quote a couple days ago. Says, this quote was not directed at anyone in the building, not at my quarterback, not at my coach, not at my offensive coordinator, not at the GM, da-da-da-da-da-da. I get it. But look, let's be fair. The damage may have already been done. The Eagles do not suffer this kind of drama from players. Well, ask C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I mean, they will get rid of you, either cut you or trade you, the Eagles will, if they think you contribute to bad chemistry, which I think A.J. may be on the verge of doing. I mean, this is two seasons in a row now. Last season, A.J. Made the point. Someone was asking him a question in the media. What's the problem with the offense? And AJ responded, the passing game, which in some ways is a direct shot at Jalen Hurts. So I get it. I love AJ Brown. He's one of my favorite Eagles of all time. But I think this may be his last season. And I've said this before. with the Philadelphia Eagles. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really, really hope I'm wrong. But A.J. Brown may not be back with the Eagles next season. So what do you do if you're the Philadelphia Eagles? Well, if you're going to get rid of A.J. Brown, whether you trade him in the offseason, there's no way they're going to cut him. They're going to trade him. He's an asset. Why wait until the offseason to trade A.J. Brown? And again, I do not want to trade A.J. Brown. I want him here for the next 5 years. But I don't think that's going to actually work out with this Philadelphia organization. So I have a suggestion. How about you trade A.J. Brown now, before the trading deadline, to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Jalen Ramsey? Folks, listen to me on this. In A.J. Brown, the Steelers will receive a dynamic weapon that you could place opposite of DK Metcalf and possibly have the best offense in the history of the Steelers franchise. This is going back to the 70s. In the history of the Steelers franchise, once they get Jalen Warren back to pair him with Kenny Gainwell, I'm telling you right now, if you get A.J. Brown as a Steeler, Aaron Rodgers may never retire. I'm just telling you this right now, because that could have the potential to be an incredibly dynamic offense. If you're the Eagles, what do you get back? You get A.J. Brown out of the conference. The only time you ever have to see him is if you meet him in the Super Bowl, which is a possibility if they make that deal this year. But more importantly, you get Jalen Ramsey, who can still play, who is a tremendous future Hall of Famer, who can lock down the other side of the cornerback position opposite Quinyon Mitchell, which has been the real only weakness in this Eagles defense coming into the season and currently. And additionally, you get Jalen Ramsey to impart his wisdom, his knowledge, to some potentially great players in that very young Eagles secondary. Quinyon Mitchell, Drew Mikuba, Cooper DeJean, Sidney Brown. Jalen Ramsey would be such an asset to this team. And A.J. Brown and Jalen Ramsey make about the same money. I think A.J. makes a little bit more than Jalen. So you could do the trade financially in so many ways. Do I want to see A.J. Brown traded? Absolutely not. And my hope is the Eagles will respond to this latest A.J. Brown kerfuffle the same way they responded to last season's A.J. Brown kerfuffle, which is by getting A.J. Brown more involved and watching the offense blast off. But if that doesn't happen, trade A.J. Brown now. Don't wait until the end of the season, to the offseason. Trade him now. Give me Jalen Ramsey, and let's go get that second Super Bowl. Now, I have to tell you, the Eagles played so well against Tampa Bay. They played well all year, let's be fair. Have they been the Buffalo Bills? Absolutely not. But the Eagles have showed you signs, especially on their special teams and their defense, that they are going to be a really, really tough out this 2025 season. And Michael Clay, who is the Eagles' special teams coach, he's going to get some interviews for head coaching positions in the offseason. Trust me on that. He's done a tremendous job with the Eagles this year. That defense is really rounding into form. I can't tell you how excited I am about them. And of course, the offense, it takes some time, but they will round into form as well. They have to figure out what they're going to do with A.J. Brown and how they're going to do it. But once they decide that, everything should be fine. Now, let's talk about the NFL in general. Folks, I got to tell you right now, the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens are an absolute disaster. Folks, I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the Ravens-Chiefs game because I was watching so much Ryder Cup and the post game. But I did see the Ravens play the Detroit Lions last Monday night. And I got to tell you, I owe Coach John Harbaugh an apology. What did I say when they played the Bills, game one of the season? I said, Coach Harbaugh never gives Lamar a chance to win the game. He sees on the other side of the field, Josh is running the show over there in Buffalo. Why not give Lamar the chance to do the same thing? Da, 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 da. Folks, Coach John Harbaugh gave Lamar the ball against the Detroit Lions in the second half. Said, go win it for us, big fella. And what did Lamar do? He underperformed. Anyone can have a bad game. I get that. Look, Derrick Henry fumbled again. I get that. But Lamar wasn't good in that game against Detroit. And from what I understand, he wasn't great in the game against the Chiefs either. So, who knows? Maybe Coach Harbaugh is doing everything he can with a dynamic player, a two-time MVP, but who has limitations in big moments. Who knows? So, Coach Harbaugh, I apologize. I was wrong about you and your intentions. And I still think you can make the playoffs, but it is going to be an uphill battle for me. Let's just be honest. All right. By the way, be careful. Be careful with the Kansas City Chiefs. That team is starting to look more and more and more like themselves with each passing week. And they haven't even gotten Rashee Rice back. So, really good win for the Steelers. I'm telling you, they finally have a chance to make some noise in the postseason for the first time in a while. And if you're the Chargers, how on earth do you lose to the New York Giants, even though it's on the road, in Jackson Dart's first start? Come on, Chargers. This is why I don't trust the Chargers. The Bears obviously got a miracle win. It's hard to believe. I got to say this out loud. It's really hard to believe that Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears, with Caleb Williams at quarterback, have a better record than Aaron Glenn and the New York Jets, which, now that I say it out loud, maybe it's not so hard to believe. Let's be fair. But the Jets, the Bengals, they're a disaster. Who knows if anything is going to happen to improve them anytime soon? I doubt it. And let's not forget, the Dillon Gabriel era starts on Sunday in Cleveland. Congratulations to the Cleveland Browns on using the first of their two rookies to see what they have in the tank against, unfortunately, a very difficult Minnesota Vikings, Brian Flores-led defense. So no envy there, but who knows? Maybe Dillon Gabriel is the answer. I think you have to play Dillon. I think you have to play Shador both this season, multiple games, to find out if you have either one of them is the answer on the roster. But who knows? Cleveland Browns will probably go back to Joe Flacco in like 3 weeks and run him out the rest of the season. It's kind of what Cleveland Browns do. Anyway, that is our show for tonight. Thank you, folks, for joining us. This was our one-year anniversary show, by the way. I want to say that, and I want to give you a heartfelt thank you for all of you who watch, for all of you who listen, for all of you who have supported this show, from day one, day 12, day 200, day 300. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We are here for you. We do this for you. And I can't tell you how much we enjoy doing it. So, with that, my name is Cyrus Farmer. This is the Stomp the Tea podcast. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And as always, we will see you on the first tee.